Thank God I went to prison. That's what Oscar Nieto said when he flew into the United States. He was met at the Miami airport. Drug agents picked him up there, took him to a local hospital, pumped his stomach out. They found enough heroin in plastic bags to give him a 99-year prison term in U.S. prison. While he was in the detention center, he was given a New Testament just like this. And he took it back to his cell. He studied it and read it. And it says in the back here, God loves you, for God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish, but have eternal life, in John 3:16. And it goes down through a number of passages in Romans 5:8, but God shows his love for us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He read all these. All may be saved now, in Revelation 3:20. He read all these, and he studied it. And he came to know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. After about 2 years in that detention center, the United States government says, we don't need you anymore. We're not going to supply 97 more years of your detention center expenses, actually prison time. And we're going to deport you back to Colombia, South America, where you came from. So they did that. And now Oscar's serving the local church in Colombia, South America, telling others about Jesus Christ. And he said, there's two things I'm happy about. I'm happy I came to the United States with drugs in my stomach, and I'm happy I left with Christ in my heart. That's why the Gideons give out these New Testaments. We give them out a lot of places. We have lots of blitzes around the world. We do personal witnessing on the streets. Actually, tomorrow I'm going to Philadelphia to hand out scriptures on the streets of Philadelphia. There are so many people there. I've been to New York City to blitzes. And anybody been to New York City? Do people smile at you? Do they smile? They walk like this. They don't look up at you. You know why? They're scared to death. They're in that concrete jungle, it's called, and they're afraid of other people. And if you smile at them, they think, what's he up to? What's he want? You know? A lot of people are that way. But in New York City, this last, in September, they gave out almost 400,000 scriptures. And that's not a lot, really, when you consider how many people are in New York City. But every year, we keep giving out more scriptures, New Testaments, give them out in many languages. I think we have them printed in 99 different languages now. And these cost $1.25 to be printed. The localest place that they print is in Philadelphia. It's off the beaten trail, but there's a big manufacturing printing place there that they print these. And I think last year we gave out 97 million New Testaments around the world. And that's pretty good. That's pretty good. We have given out already over 2 billion since 1898, I think it has been. And we'd like to give out another billion from a year ago till 7 years. We'd like to give out another billion New Testaments around the world. It's sort of funny, in Pennsylvania and in the United States, we dare not stand on school ground and give out New Testaments like we used to. But in New York City, where we were there, they came across the street to us where we were set up. We had bus drivers, we had taxi cab drivers, we had teachers. Parents came out of their cars when they knew we were there, and they wanted a scripture. People are hungry for God's word. A lot of people think the United States, God is dead, you know, but God's certainly not dead. And God is alive. If you remember the words I wrote or read in chapter 55:11, my word will not go forth void. And that's because God's word is supreme to anything else in this world. There is nothing more important than his word. I want to tell you a story about another lady in New York City. A young lady, she was running in Central Park at night. You people that said you were in New York City, would you run in Central Park at night? And a young lady to begin with. Not a place you want to be. But her world was caving down around her. Everything was falling in on her. She didn't know what to do. She was crying and running and crying. And it was during a thunderstorm. And there was thunder and lightning. And she cried out, if there's a God up there, show me right now. About that time, there was a crack of thunder, a flash of lightning, and right in front of her laid a discarded New Testament. Right in front of her laid one. She picked it up. She held on to it. She continued running, went back to her apartment. She read what God says about how to be saved and how to straighten your life out. And she did it that night. And now she's has her life back in order, and she's serving the Lord in a local church here in New York City. There are thousands and thousands of stories about what Bibles have done for people. And I want to tell you a story about a minister in upper central northern Pennsylvania. He was not always a minister. He was a salesman, and he used to travel around a lot of hotels and stuff, and he traveled with this other man. Neither one were Christians. One was an atheist, he told him he was. And when they went into hotel rooms, he pulled open the drawer, this atheist did, looked for the Gideon Bible, and he always put it on top of the directory and everything else that's in that drawer. And he did this for about 3-4 times. This guy, this minister he is today, he says, "Why do you do that? You don't believe in God." He says, "I think that's the right thing to do." Evidently, he is not as much of an atheist as he thinks he is. He thinks there is a God, and atheists say there is no God. Why would he do that? I still don't know the answer to that question. But anyhow, this pastor, who is now, picked up this Gideon Bible out of the hotel room, which is just like this, it's up different colors, and he took it. He says, "I stole the Gideon Bible," he told me. I said, "That's okay, we want you to take them, you know, because people need a Gideon Bible. Sometimes they don't have a Bible at all." And he said, "No, I stole it." I said, "Well, it just says placed by the Gideons. It doesn't say, you know, it needs to stay right here, because we replenish hotel Bibles all the time." Well, he took it home, and he was sitting there reading the Bible, and his wife came in, and she says, "Now, what in the world are you doing? What for call are you involved in now?" Here, a couple weeks before, she had accepted Christ as her Savior, and here he had a Bible, and he was reading. He says, "It's not a call, it's a Bible," and she was so happy, and he says, "I just accepted Christ out of this Bible, that Gideon Bible that he said I stole." He wouldn't let me say it's okay. He continued to say, "I have that stolen Bible next to my bed at home," he says. But I tried to tell him, "It's okay. It's not, you know, we're not going to lock you up for taking a Bible because we want you to take them." But anyhow, he went on and went to seminary and became a pastor in the church. But the story doesn't stop there. He was walking down the street where next to the church one Sunday. He saw this guy feeding his cats outside. And he says, "Why don't you come to church with me?" This guy was a downtrodden person. He wasn't dressed very well. He wasn't, you know, how do I say it? He didn't have a lot of money. He was a very poor man. He says, no, I don't have no time for God." Well, a couple of weeks later, this man fell and broke his leg. And the pastor found out about it. So he went into the hospital and he met this man. And he talked to him and prayed for him and with him. He led him to Christ. You know, that man has not missed a day of church. He sits in the front pew every Sunday. He said on Easter Sunday, the first Easter Sunday that he came to know the Lord, he rode his bicycle to church with a flat tire. And I think, would I do that? Would I ride a bicycle to church with a flat tire just to be in church? Very committed. He had a Bible just like, I guess, a Gideon one. It was a lot worse than this, matter of fact. It was tattered. The pages were bent up and about like my bulletins I have in here. You know, the pages looked about like that. And he had everything circled and written in this Bible like you wouldn't believe. All kinds of notes. And I said, when I left that Sunday, I said, "Would you like to have a new one?" So I took my stuff out and I gave him a new Gideon Bible. You thought I'd give him $1,000. He was so happy to have a new Bible that wasn't falling apart like his was. That's why it's important for me to be a Gideon. I just love the look on people's faces when they have before them God's Word and they're happy to have it. We're in 200 countries around the world, and we go to a lot of blitzes. I said, I have never been to a blitz in a foreign country, but I've seen lots of videos of places where they've been. They have been in schools where this is the only book they might get their whole life. That's the only book they might receive in their whole life. It's not because they have iPads and cell phones either. It's because they don't have anything. And they love this book. You wouldn't believe the way they when they come up to the Giddings and hand them out, I've seen this, they'll take the book and then they'll bow and thank them for the book. Every one of those children do. And they're not told to do that. They do it. And they're so happy to get God's word and know. And a lot of these people that hand these in these blitzes overseas, they witness to them and they tell them about Christ. And a lot of them, one guy witnessed to seven guys one day, and guess what? All seven accepted Christ. And they signed the back of the New Testament here. You can sign it. And the thing that's amazing about this, I was at a pastor appreciation banquet one time, and one of the guys showing on the slides up, or the DVD up front, he was saying, he showed this back page, he had a picture of it. It was given out to the prison, to a prisoner. It had seven signatures and seven different dates on it when they accepted Christ. One New Testament like this. One of them had seven signatures and seven times when they accepted Christ, different people in that. That one New Testament that cost $1.25 saved seven men. Pretty impressive, isn't it? I want to tell you another story about a guy in Williamsport. I like to tell the ones where I have people that talk to me and have firsthand experience. I walked into the church like I did this morning. A lot of people greeted me like you have greeted me. But this one man walked up to me, and I thought he was the pastor. I didn't know the pastor. I introduced myself. I said, "Are you the pastor?" He said, "No." But he says, "I have a story to tell you about a Gideon Bible." He said, "I was a missionary to Russia." And he says, "I was there one day ministering," he said, and this guy walked up to me and he says, "I got a testimony to tell you about a Gideon Bible." He says, "Okay, you know." But he says, "My job in Russia was burning Bibles. Every day I went and burnt thousands of Bibles. I shoveled them on piles as they confiscated these Bibles. I was burning them every day of my life. I burnt Bibles as his working life, put it that way." He was burning Bibles. One day, a Gideon Bible like this dropped on the floor, opened up, his name was written in it. What do you think you would do if you found this guy was an atheist, the Bible dropped open, your name was written in it? What would you think that was? Pretty impressive, wouldn't it? I mean, do you think that was a God thing? I think it was. I think God planned that. He picked that Bible up quick. He couldn't believe his name was written into that Bible. He put it in his big overcoat he had on because it was cold out. He took that Bible home that night. He read it, studied it. He read all night, and he came to know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior that night. He went in the next morning. He says, "I can't burn Bibles no more." They said, "What's wrong with you?" He said, "I can't do it. I became a Christian last night, and I cannot burn another Bible." They locked him up for 2 years in a Russian jail. And now, after he got out, he's serving the Lord in the Russian church and telling others about Jesus and the way he got saved. Now, I was so impressed with that story, I've never forgotten it. You know, because, you know, the chance of you burning thousands and thousands of Bibles, you know, I'm talking about shoveling them on a fire. He said the fire was real high in that, you know, that burnt, how many Bibles he burned every day. And one opens up, and your name is written in it. Here it was his mother's Bible that she had been praying for him her whole life. They confiscated it, and he was burning his Bibles. I don't think that was just a chance happening. I think that was a God thing, that God wanted him to come to Christ. We've heard some of the hardest criminals have come to Jesus Christ. I was at a program one time down in Milton, Pennsylvania, and they had a gangster on there that had been saved. He said that night, he said, "There is no one," and he pointed like this, "There is no one in this building that has committed a worse sin than I have committed in my life? No one. And he says, so there's no reason that anyone cannot come to Christ, no matter how rotten they have been in their life. But that's why I'm a Gideon, because I know Christ can save people. Not all Gideons are speakers. You have to qualify to be a speaker. I don't think I'm the best speaker I've ever heard, but I'm out here telling people about Jesus because I think it's important that this happens. I mean, I go to blitzes because I want to tell others about Jesus Christ. The Gideons have their card programs, and they have also a friend of the Gideons. Anybody ever want to get Bibles? And you don't need to become a Gideon to do that. You can become a friend of the Gideons, and you can buy the Bibles from the Gideons. You just pay a membership due every year, like we do, and you can order Bibles. The only difference is they don't have the Gideon emblem on them. They just this emblem down here at the bottom. And they're gray. They're a gray Bible. That's the only thing different. Everything else in them, it's like I tell people, we pass out orange ones to school children. We pass out green ones to college students and white ones for nurse. But I said, once you open the cover, they're all the same. It's the same words. It's God's word. Nothing changes other than the cover. And believe it or not, some of the covers do matter to some kids, especially at Penn State. They used to be a plain cover. Now we put on the orange ones, we put lockers and things like that on them, pictures of them. And then the green ones have a different color on them now. They're sort of flowered or whatever. And people, it attracts their attention. Well, we want them to be attracted to Jesus Christ. And that's why we hand them out. Trying to think. The Bibles here cost $5. $5. That's what we, when we put them in hotels. And actually Tuesday I'm going to, where you have what is called a pastor's visitation day, that we go around and talk to pastors and see what we can do for them. Not in this area, we're doing this in Union County Camp, but they do them in Luzerne County and Lackawanna County and all the counties around here. They have that day. And we talk to pastors. You know, it's amazing how many pastors, how do you want to say it, are hurting. And as a pastor, they don't normally tell anybody else because they're the leader of the flock. It's very important that we pray for pastors, and that's what we do on that day. We pray for them. And, you know, it's really eye-opening to say we're going to pray for it. What we can pray for you today about, and they don't know what to say because they've never hardly asked, anybody ever asked them what they could pray for them about. They're always praying for everybody else. And it's important that we do pray for pastors, and that's what we do. And I'm going to be doing that on Tuesday. I want to tell you one more story, and then I'll close here. But it's important that we care about pastors. I want to tell you about a man in Florida. He was a speaker at our state convention in State College here a couple years ago. This is going to date him a little bit, so maybe some of you young guys won't know what a hippie is, but... That was back in that day. This young man was given a Gideon Bible like that when he was in fifth grade. He was given a Gideon Bible. Well, took it home. He had a dresser, the top drawers, there was three of them. Two bigger ones and a small one. He said, I always put the special things in that middle drawer. So he put that in his special drawer. Never opened that Bible until he was about 15 or 16. He was going to commit suicide. He was on drugs and alcohol. His life was really shot. Well, before he was going to do that, he got that drawer open. He opened that Bible. He started reading it and stuff. He says, I don't know if I understand everything that's in here. He says, my uncle's a minister down the street here. He said, I'm going to go down the street this Sunday and see what he has to say. He says, I shaved and, you know, I bathed and I looked pretty good, he said. And I went down and stood outside the church door. So nobody talked to me, not one person. Not one person talked to him because he was a hippie. And all of a sudden this man walked up and put his arm on his shoulder and he says, you know what, this is not you guys, believe me. He says, the music's not great, but he said the preaching is. That's what he told him. But the music was great this morning, I can't say that about here. And anyhow, he says, why don't you come in and listen? And he came in, sat in the back row, the back corner, and they had a greeting just like you had this morning. Not one person talked to him. Not one person in that church talked to him. He said, I don't know about this church thing. Nobody wants to talk to you. Nobody wants to greet with you, talk to you. So he sat there. And then they introduced the speaker, and he walked up from the back around and walked up here. It was the guy that put his arm around him and said, about the preaching's pretty good. He looked back at him. He winked at him. And he preached that day and talked about salvation. The young man came up that day and accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, because one man cared about that young man. But that isn't the end. That young man went to school with his Gideon Bible. He had lunchtime. There was a hillside there, and the kids sat out there and they ate their lunch and stuff. And he started preaching to them. He talked to them about Jesus and told them that they need to come to Christ. He did this for a couple of weeks, and all of a sudden he was called to the office. The principal wanted him in the office. He said, I don't know. I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't think so. I didn't do anything. He said, the principal came in, and the young man was there, you know, as people think that the principal is the, you know, the top guru and is going to have something bad to say about you, especially if you've been a troublemaker like he had been. And the principal says, I want to talk to you about your preaching at lunch period. He says, don't you want me to do it? He says, yes, I want you to do it, but I want you to change lunch periods. I want you to do it in the second lunch period now, too. So he changed his lunch period, and then he pulled him in again. He said, I want you to do it in the third lunch period. There were three lunch periods. Here he got to change lunch periods three times, and he started telling people about Jesus on his lunch period, about him coming to Christ. And then after school was over, he went to college and seminary. Now he's a pastor in Tallahassee, Florida. I think it's a Baptist church, too. But in Tallahassee, Florida, and he preaches the word there. And you know what? He said that young man, or that preacher, and the man that led him to Christ are still friends today. But he said it was because of one Gideon Bible. I think it's pretty good that one Bible can do that so much that now he's a pastor leading others to Christ because someone cared enough to give him a Gideon Bible. Well, thank you for having me here this morning. You've been very attentive. I really appreciate it. I appreciate your gifts that you've given to the Gideons. And my wife and I, we traveled from Mifflinburg, Pennsylvania. And it's about a two-hour drive. But we enjoy traveling around to different churches around Pennsylvania. And thank you again for having me.